want to teach this morning. I gave Sister Martha our scripture verses earlier that we'd be teaching from, and I said, well, I'm going to be teaching about me and about you. And when she read it, she kind of laughed. And I was kind of making light of the situation, I guess. But before we even read a scripture, I'm going to tell you what we're going to teach about. I titled this lesson, The Perfect Person. Am I going to be teaching to anybody this morning? I tell you what. Let's read the scripture and see what the scripture says. Amen. We're going to read a couple and then you can be seated. The perfect person. In the book of James, chapter 3, starting with the first verse. My brethren, be not many masters. And what James is talking about in Jewish culture, in the day of the church, a budding church, and in their zeal, a lot of them, all everybody wanted to be teachers. And that's what James is saying. Be not many masters. You've heard the whole saying, we can't all be chiefs. Some of us got to be Indian. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Well, maybe we can be perfect. What the scripture just said. And able also to bridle the whole body. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We read those first two verses, and immediately what I got out of that is what you say and what you don't say is both important. Sometimes a word is in order. Sometimes silence is in order. Amen. Both are important, what you say and what you don't say. And proper speech is not only saying the right words at the right time, but controlling your desire, James said, to say what you shouldn't. And examples of wrongly using the tongue, as we all know, according to Scripture, gossiping, putting others down, bragging, manipulating, false teachings, exaggerating, complaining, flattering, lying. I tell you, before we ever speak, we ought to ask ourselves these three things. Is it true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? I tell you, that's a pretty good litmus test if you don't believe it. It's to ask yourself those three things before we ever speak. Is it true? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Continuing on with our text, verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Boy, you talk about an unruly member. James compares the tongue to a raging fire. And the source of it, he said, of its wickedness is hell itself. And I tell you, the uncontrolled tongue can do a lot of damage. And Satan uses the tongue to divide people and to pit one against the other and try to cause division. I tell you, that's his forte. And idle words, I'm telling you, are damaging and can spread destruction. And once they're spoken, they cannot be taken back. You know, my old grandpa, he had all kind of sayings, and he says, you could pull a nail out of the board, but the board still got a hole in it. The damage is done when the words are spoken, or a blessing can occur when the words are spoken. Let's choose carefully, and let's choose to bless somebody. I tell you, words spoken in anger can destroy a relationship that has taken years and years to build. And it's kind of like the old one bad apple in the whole barrel. I mean, you'd be digging in a barrel of apple and you find the old bad one, you don't want to eat any of them. It doesn't take but one time to destroy a relationship with unkind words. I'm telling you, before we speak, we need to remember words are like a fire, according to James. We can neither control or neither can we reverse the damage that they can do. Amen. Verse 7, for every kind of beast. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Listen to verse 8. But the tongue no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Well, let's back up to verse 2. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Verse 8 said, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I'm telling you, we can tame wild animals. We can tame all kind of stuff, but we cannot tame our tongue. So obviously, Steve is not a perfect person. Amen. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. You can't do that. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Neither a vine figs, so can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. Amen. If no human being can control the tongue, you may say, well, why even bother trying? I tell you, even though we may not achieve perfect control of it in this life, we can still learn enough about it to try to reduce the damage that it can do, if you understand that. I tell you, it's better to fight a fire than to go around starting new ones. Amen. I'm telling you, we're not fighting our tongue in our own strength. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that gives us power and strength to monitor and control what we say. But the ticket to that is we have to be able to listen to what the Spirit says. Spirit speaks to spirit. If spirit's not dwelling in us and we not letting the Holy Ghost operate in us, we're not going to hear what the Spirit says. Therefore, the Holy Ghost cannot speak to us, and we will speak things that we should not. Amen. So when the Holy Ghost speaks, we must listen. We're not sinless, but I tell you what, we should never stop growing and striving to be perfect. Amen. Amen. Our speech reflects our true identity. I tell you, the tongue will give us a picture of our true basic human nature. What you speak will betray you. I tell you, we need to let the Spirit purify our hearts and give us self-control so that we speak the words only that please God. Amen. Amen. In James' writing, the phrase perfect man appears four times in the King James Version of the Bible. Twice in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament. One time is in Job, the second time in Psalms, and in the book of Ephesians, and then we just read in the book of James. The Hebrew word translated as perfect in the Old Testament means morally undefiled or complete and lacking nothing. The Greek word used in the New Testament suggests completeness or full maturity. And the Bible described both Noah and Job as perfect. And God told Abraham, he said, to walk before me and be perfect. And I don't know other than what I read about Noah and Job, but I'm telling you, they must have been fine gentlemen for God himself to call them perfect, able to control their tongue and tame their tongue. Jesus even proclaimed to his disciples in Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect." I tell you, indeed, following him and his way, his perfect way, will lead us into the way of true perfection. And I tell you, I ask you this morning, what can we do to develop the same character that Christ had to lead us toward the goal of true perfection? Well, the Bible talks about several different times. It talks about perfecting praise. I tell you, when our praise goes up before God, it needs to be perfect praise. It needs to be a sacrifice of praise without spot and without blemish. It needs to be a sacrifice of praise that goes up that's acceptable to Jesus Christ, with pure hands, pure heart, and pure minds. Amen. Perfecting praise. The next thing the Bible talks about, perfecting holiness. And he said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And I thought about the song we just got through singing. Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I tell you, it starts on the inside, y'all. The inside of the vessel is clean. Don't worry about the outside. It's going to take care of itself. Amen. The cleanliness on the inside will spill over on the outside. We need to perfect holiness. And the Bible also talks about perfecting love and faith. And the writer to the Hebrews, Hebrews 6:1 said, "Go on unto perfection." So this lesson basically today is talking about how we as Christians can work toward perfection by controlling our speech. Amen. By controlling our speech. James talking about the perfect person. The Greek word that he used, perfect, was the Greek word teleios, which is translated perfect in James chapter 3, verse 2, means fully mature, complete, and brought to its end or finished. And if you read the story of Christ hanging on the cross in the book of John, if I'm not mistaken, it's the only time that it's recorded he used the phrase, "It is finished." And Jesus Christ himself used the word teleos. And what he said, he didn't say, "I'm defeated. It's over. It's done." He said, "It has come full circle. It is finished. It is complete. It has reached full maturity, and I won." Amen. The same word was used, and I think I've mentioned this before, when kings would conquer opposing nations and stuff and take control, that's what he would declare when he would ride back into his city on a big white steed, and he would slam a sword into the ground, and he would declare the word teleos, "It is finished, and we have won the victory." Amen. So James is saying, when he used the word perfect, I'm telling you, when you control your tongue and you can tame your tongue, you have reached full maturity. You have finished and you have accomplished what you set out to do, to control your tongue and on your way to becoming a perfect person. Amen. James seems to have been suggesting that our speech is a tool that will betray the condition of our heart and our spiritual maturity level. And I'm telling you, the more we stumble in our words and the more we use hurting or biting words or wrong words, the less mature we are. And it's very clear that James is not discussing those who might stutter or have a speech impediment something of that nature. But I tell you, he's talking about those whose speech betrays not a physical defect, but a spiritual defect. Amen. And just like somebody with a speech impediment and a speech problem can go to a therapist and through the course of a lot of therapy and stuff can perfect that. I know people that personally that at one time stuttered and they overcame that with therapy. I'm telling you, with a little spiritual therapy, you can overcome that tongue. Amen. And not have a spiritual defect. James talked about using self-control. And he taught that one mark of a perfect person was the ability to control his or her tongue. And I tell you, the church body, us, we can have no greater example than Jesus Christ himself at his trial. And the Bible says in the book of Matthew that he opened not his mouth. And that was even predicted hundreds and hundreds of years ago by the prophet Isaiah. He said he was like a lamb to the slaughter and a sheep before his shear, but he opened not his mouth. Amen. Under such conditions and assault, I tell you, our natural instinct and response is to lose our temper and to cause more problems. But I'm telling you, sometimes we have to just keep our mouth shut. Amen. I've said it before, and I know you've experienced it too. I'm telling you, I've kept my mouth shut when I knew I was right. But sometimes it's just better to keep your mouth shut. Amen. We need to learn to tame our tongue. Hallelujah. I wasn't too sure this was going to get a lot of amens, but I tell you, if it's in the Word of God, it's good enough for us. Amen. The Bible teaches that the Christian can keep his temper by learning how to endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. You can find that scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. And to endure hardness simply means, interpret it, means when you come against hardship. It teaches us how to keep our temper in control and to keep our tongue tame. I tell you, the Christian has got to learn to discipline his whole body, mind, and his spirit. Every aspect of your life. Not just one, but all three, your body, your mind, and your spirit, that you'll be able to exercise control over every situation that may come your way. I tell you, if you don't, and if I don't, we are in great danger of exposing ourselves to emotions of anger. And you know what that can cause. I tell you, if we give in to those uncontrolled emotions, we begin to lose our temper. And I'm telling you, you are useless to God and you're useless to the church until you can repent and receive God's correction. I tell you, it's a good thing that we submit to God's correction and his chastening. Amen. Because the Bible says, he chasteneth whom he loveth. And he loves every one of you. And I tell you, when I say something, and I just got through telling you the damage that can be done. But I tell you, it doesn't keep us from asking somebody to forgive us and apologizing and being apologetic and trying to make it right. That's all a part of controlling and trying to gain control over your tongue. Amen. James talked about the tongue setting the course. He talked about the bits controlling the horses. And we all know what he's talking about, that bit, that metal object that goes into the mouth of a horse to control him. And when you're holding the reins and you control that bit in his mouth, you can control his left and right, his backwards, his forward, his stopping. You can control an animal that may weigh 1,500, 2,000 pounds. They even control those big old draft horses with bits in their mouth. But I'm telling you, when the horse learns and finds out that you've got control of his tongue, you've got control of him. My son had a horse. He always wanted a horse. So a friend of mine had one for sale, and I bought it, and that thing was half Tennessee Walker and half quarter horse. A good horse. A little female, a little mare. And she was fun to ride, but I'm telling you, she was full of energy. She wasn't too good herding cows, but boy, she was good at riding fence. She would get in that little trot, and I mean, would do that for hours on end. But the thing about old Ladybug is the bit that he gave me for that horse had a port in it about that high. You know what the port is? That's the part where the bar goes across and it goes up like this and across. Normally the port in the bit maybe not be about like that, and some other bits, the hackamore bit and some of the others, don't even have one. But I'm telling you, she was so headstrong that it took a port that high to hit her in the top of the mouth when you pull the rein to even make her stop. Lord, if you got to put a port in my mouth that's as long as my arm to stop me and control my tongue, please do it. Amen. He would actually make her mouth bleed. And I'm telling you, Lord, if you have to chasten me, you have to work on me, use a high port bit in my mouth, do it so I can control my tongue. The tongue sets the course. And as the horseman controls the horses with the bit, so the one who controls our tongue also controls our whole body. Amen. At the helm of the person's tongue is either going to be one or two things. It's either going to be the Lord or it's going to be the human spirit. Amen. The Christian who desires to reach perfection should work it allowing the Lord to control his or her tongue. Amen. He also talked about the helm of a ship, and he kind of emphasized his point that he was trying to make, talking about how the pilot of a large ship at sea at the helm will control that vessel with simply a small rudder in the back that he controls. Amen. I tell you, it's necessary to properly steer our ship to avoid the rocks and the storms and to keep us on course. I tell you, we got to let the Spirit of the Lord, we got to let it be the helm in our life. We got to let it guide us and correct us as necessary to control our tongues. And a lot of times where I work, they had and Brother Dennis is probably a lot more familiar with this than I am, down on the docks where the ships would come in and would load. Before that ship ever made it to that dock, the port of Lake Charles, I guess, or whoever would send out a harbor pilot to board that ship and would bring that ship into port because he knew how to navigate that ship up the ship channel and under the 210 bridge and to bring that ship into dock without hitting anything. I tell you, Lord, let me turn it over to you. I want to let you be the helm of my ship. Amen. And I found out, and I did not know this, I worked with a guy who's had a cousin who was a harbor pilot, and he told me how much those guys make, and I guess they're worth every dime of it. They were paid higher wages than an airline pilot. Those guys made tremendous amounts of money, but it's all because they knew what they were doing in leading that ship safely into that harbor. And I tell you what, Lord, let me turn my life over to you because you can lead me safely into the harbor. Amen. He talked about the tongue controlling the destiny. He said, it will set fires. James 3:5 in our text, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I tell you, truly, truly, unwise words, unkind words have caused duels and feuds between families and friends, and even cause wars between nations. And unwise words have often caused people to leave church and to even backslide. And I'm telling you, that is not good. That is why we need to control our tongues. And don't get me wrong, there is times and places for correction and rebuke. And it is up to the person that's being done so in the admonition of the Lord to accept it in the right fashion, to be able to accept good constructive criticism. But I'm telling you, we have to be careful what we say lest we start a rift, unless we start problems. I tell you, every forest fire, I say every forest fire, most forest fires start from a small fire that if a crew of firefighters could have got there early, they could have got it under control. So that's the way we have to be. The small fires start the little fires. So we have to be ready to get the little fire under control quickly. Amen. That's what James is talking about. Because if we don't, that forest fire can destroy homes and lives and property that can run into the millions of dollars. And we see that all the time out in some of the western states. When some of the hot, dry winds get to blowing a fire, I'm telling you, that thing will rage. And I know you've probably seen it too on the news. That fire will be burning, and all of a sudden that huge tree will just explode into flames. And that's exactly how that we can cause problems with our tongue if we don't watch it. We need to learn to control our tongue. Likewise, unkind words can lead to misunderstanding and a quarrel, and sometimes can cause an offended spirit in somebody. And oftentimes, like I said, the offended spirit can backslide. And that's not what it's about, folks. It's about bringing people into the kingdom of God. It's not about making them get out of the kingdom of God. Amen. And sometimes the offended person may never return to enjoy a relationship with God like they once had. I tell you, indeed, a little fire caused by unwise words could lead to the judgment of God. Not only for the one that is offended, but it will also lead to that for the one that does the offending, if we're not careful. Amen. You know, a lot of people say, well, I tell you what, he deserved everything I said. Be careful of that. Amen. The second thing he said is set on fire of hell. James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. And I tell you, the potential of the tongue to start destructive behavior is simply horrifying. And it's causing a world of iniquity. It's possibly the most destructive force in nature. Amen. Amen. Although the tongue is one of the smallest members, it can defile our whole body and soul and spirit simply because it spews out what's inside the heart. I said it spews out what's inside the heart. Amen. And James' words setteth on fire the course of nature. When I was looking that up, one commentary had that it's kind of puzzled Bible scholars, and they say perhaps it refers to the ability of the tongue to start a chain of events. And indeed, the words that result from an unruly tongue can ignite a spark that will start just a whole series of consequences if we're not careful. James even referred to the tongue as set on fire of hell in that verse we just read. And I'm telling you, there's an old cliche that says an idle mind is the devil's workshop. But I tell you, an unruly tongue is the devil's workshop also. I tell you, he will use that if he possibly can. And I tell you, he's not above fanning the flames either once he gets it started. I tell you, the quicker he can get it out of control, the more damage he can do. And that's why we need to stop it in its tracks. And I tell you, he will add fuel to the fire by using deception and spreading half-truths. And I said in a lesson not too long ago, a half-truth is a whole lie. Amen. He talked about taming the wild, talking about mankind being able to tame the beast. In the book of Genesis, we all know God gave man dominion over every living thing that moves on the face of the earth, and even allowed Adam to name the beast and the birds. And after the flood, the Lord told Noah he would deliver every beast and fowl of the air into his hand, Genesis 9:2. And I tell you, since God placed the fear of mankind upon every living creature, trainers, circus trainers and what have you, have been able to successfully tame some of the most vicious wild animals. And I know you've been to circuses just like I have, and those big old lions and tigers sitting up there, and he's cracking a whip and giving orders, and they jumping through hoops and jumping back and forth and doing exactly what he says. Now, I do understand and know there has been times when the lion, for some reason or other, he turned around and attacked the man, the tamer. But for the most part, the tamer can tame the creature. But James said mankind cannot tame the tongue. I tell you, a person may be able to tame the most brutal and violent beast, yet he cannot tame the human tongue. So, you know, you may ask, well, since I can't tame the tongue, how can I ever become perfect? I tell you, we can only become perfect by kind of taking the advice of when I was reading and studying this about this navigator, and he was teaching this novice person how to sail, and he said, don't look at the compass all the time. He said, you need to find a star, and you need to find landmarks to guide yourself. I'm going to tell you what, just like we were talking about the harbor pilot a while ago, if he looked at the compass all the time and didn't pay much attention to which way he was going and the buoys and the different things that's marking the way of the ship, he's fixing to run aground. And it's the same way with us. We don't need to look at the target all the time. We need to look at the star every now and then and the landmarks to see where we're going. Revelation 22:16 talks about Jesus being the bright and the morning star. I tell you, I want to steer my ship toward him. I want to steer my ship at him because I know that he can guide us into a safe port. Lord, you help me control my tongue. You help me get control of the very member that literally could turn me into a perfect man, as God spoke about Noah and Job. But Lord, I need to keep my eyes on you, and I need to steer my ship toward you. Amen, amen. We need to aim our ship toward him. I tell you, only when the heart is pure will that which emanates from the heart also be pure through the tongue. Amen. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. I want my heart to be full of the abundance of the Holy Ghost. I want what comes out of me to come from an abundance of the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord, the Holy Ghost that's in my heart. Amen. We all know what an abundance is. We've all been recipients of it, and we've all given it away. It means having more than necessary. Lord, out of the abundance of my heart, out of what I've got in my heart that is more than necessary and more than I need, let it come through my tongue as a blessing and not a curse. Let me control my tongue. So when the heart is pure, the tongue will also be pure. Only God can tame the tongue. I tell you, I thought about when they were filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says that they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Those people began to sing the praises and began to prophesy and begin to glorify God and say great things about God through the unction of the Holy Ghost, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. God got a hold of their tongue. Amen. The most unruly member, he got a hold of it and began to glorify God. So when the Lord calls on an individual, he promises us that the Holy Ghost will purify the heart and will also help purify the tongue in the process. And I tell you, it is up to us after that to keep it that way. Amen. Amen. Just because a person receives the Holy Ghost and in a heavenly language or even in a known dialect like they did on the day of Pentecost begins to glorify God, I tell you, after that, it is up to us to keep the same spirit in us so we can continually control our tongue. Amen. To go on toward perfection. James talked about the double tongue. Amen. He talked about trees bearing olives, grapevine bearing figs, and brackish and fresh water coming from the same fountain. We all know that those things cannot happen. I tell you, the natural phenomena is to produce and to bear according to nature. And we all know that the olive tree cannot bear figs or the grapevine figs and what have you, and the salty and the sweet water come out of the same. We all know that cannot happen. And I'm telling you, similarly, a Christian who blesses God and curses his fellow believer has a heart problem. Amen. That he needs to bring to the divine heart surgeon for a little work. Amen. Because those two things cannot come out of the same fountain. He talked about cursing and announcing a curse or doom or evil upon someone. And we all talked about that a couple of lessons ago about evil speaking. Ephesians 4 and 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Amen. Clean up your speech. Apostle Peter's words also declared, and we read that a couple of lessons ago in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And I tell you, that's why Jesus Christ was a perfect man. There was no guile found in his mouth. There was no evil speaking in his mouth. I tell you, the cursing tongue is like that of the liar, the scorn of the talebearer, the false witness, and the flatterer, the Bible speaks of. I tell you, we ought to be a blessing with our tongue. I tell you, just like a tongue can bring curses and a tongue can be double tongue, a tongue can also bring forth good fruit. Amen. Amen. The disciplined tongue can help others. And a mother can use her tongue to calm a fretful child just with the sound of her voice. And I tell you, the tongue of diplomats may stop a war or help relations between nations. But I tell you, the spirit-filled tongue can bring comfort to somebody. I tell you, I don't care if it's a funeral or if it's a blessing that you give at a wedding or you're praying for somebody or whatever, the spirit-filled tongue can be a blessing to somebody. And we need to let our tongues be full of blessings. I tell you, I pray to God to help us continually bring out good results and to bring good things from the good use of our tongue. I tell you, we need to guard what we say. There was a lesson I thought about. I taught a long time ago. It's been several years ago. But I remember I titled it, "You're Gonna Pay for What You Say." The Bible talks about being judged on idle words. And I've said before, that's not talking about deer hunting or how'd your garden do. I'm talking about words that are chosen either to bless or to curse. We're going to be judged by what we say. Amen. God, help me to get a control of our tongue. I tell you, Jesus demonstrated his maturity when he stood before the judges and all his different trials, and he didn't say a thing. I tell you, out of his pure heart flowed pure speech. And I tell you, out of my pure heart, I want pure speech to flow out of me, and I know you do too. Amen. Truly, the tongue can either be a blessing or a curse. And even though we have power to bless, unfortunately, sometimes the tongue will bring about a curse. On the other hand, we can be a blessing when we use our voice to be gentle, kind, true, loving, and temperate. Amen. That's nothing more than the fruit of the Spirit. I tell you, when we open our mouth and we use our tongue, God, help me to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus, let me be just like you. Let me be a mirror image to choose my words carefully. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, I pray. Amen. God bless you this morning. We're out of time. We're going to be dismissed and come back to our worship service shortly. Thank you for your kind attention. God bless you.